Just before we begin, inshallah, a short reminder of what I said in the second khutbah. Today, inshallah, that we need to pay off the loan on this masjid and the riba we're paying on that masjid. So we need to get off that loan, inshallah. For this reason, we are giving you this opportunity for Sadaqah Jariyah. Inshallah, next Jummah we'll have a fundraiser. We'll offer 500 salah spots in the masjid, and the salah spot will be $1,000. So if we sell or get sponsorships for 500 salah spots, then inshallah we'll pay off the loan and we'll fix the roof of the masjid because it's leaking everywhere. So talk to your family, make up your mind if you would like to sponsor or buy one spot or more, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Before I begin, does anyone have a lighter? Wallah. I'll just borrow it. I'll give it back. Don't worry. I don't smoke. Yeah, give it to me. MashaAllah. I see a lot of hands. MashaAllah. What is this? Yeah. Barakallahu fik. Jazakallah. Yeah, it's working. So, today, inshallah, I feel compelled to talk about Muhammad Ali. Yesterday was his janazah, and it was attended by President Erdogan from Turkey. Today was his memorial, and it was attended by President Bill Clinton. So many dignitaries and important people, they came from all over the world. Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, everyone came because they loved the guy. The heavyweight champion for 3 times. They call him the greatest. The guy who used to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. One time, people were asking him, how come you call yourself the greatest? And he said, it is hard to be humble when you are as good as I am. So he had a big mouth, yes, but everyone loved him. His friends and his enemies. Everyone loved Muhammad Ali, right? But things were not always good for him. Muhammad Ali was born in 1942 in Kentucky. And during that time, there was what they call the Jim Crow laws. Which means that these were the laws of the states that the blacks and the whites couldn't eat in the same place. The blacks were eating in the back. And the blacks were always standing in the bus, in the back of the bus. They couldn't sit in the front. And they couldn't sit and eat in the restaurant in the front. So Muhammad Ali, when he won the gold medal in the Olympics in Berlin, he went back to Kentucky, he went to one of those restaurants because everyone knew he won the gold medal in Berlin Olympics. So he expected some respect because of his gold medal. He is now the world champion. And the waiter came, a white guy, and he told him, we don't serve niggers here. So he said, I don't eat them either, right? So they kicked him out. They said, you're funny, just leave. So he went to the bridge, and he threw his gold medal in the river. He said, this medal cannot give me respect and cannot even get a meal in my own state. And he threw it in the river. And he started to win again. For 2 or 3 years, he was winning all the time. He was beating everyone. Sonny Liston, Joe Frazier, and so on and so forth. He was beating everyone, right? Then the Vietnam War. They wanted to draft him and send him to fight and kill the Vietnamese people. And he said, this is against my religion. I'm a Muslim. My name is Muhammad Ali. I'm not allowed to go and kill people for nothing. People who live 10,000 or 15,000 miles away, poor people who lived in huts, they didn't have clean water, they were living a difficult life. Why should I go and kill them? Whereas I'm treated in my own country like a dog. I don't have respect in my country. I don't have democracy. Why would I go 10, 15,000 miles and force democracy on people? I heard they landed a spaceship on Mars a few months ago. And the good thing is, I realized by reading the news that Mars didn't have any oil. Otherwise, the Martians would have needed some democracy. Alhamdulillah. But they didn't have it. This is good news for them. Whatever you have, gas or oil, big problem for you. You need some democracy. Okay. So he refused, they stripped him of the title, and I think they put him some time in jail, right? But eventually he won the case against the U.S., and he regained his title. And from that day on, he lost 3 years of his life when he was at the peak of his strength, but he won the title twice after that, and so on and so forth. And he gained the respect of everyone, as I said, his enemies and his friends. You will see a lot of videos on YouTube. He was interviewed in the 1960s, the 1970s, and every time he got a question, he always injected Islam in the question. They said, someone, you are very famous, you are the most chronicled and the most famous man in the world, are you not afraid that someone will come and shoot you, just like they did with Malcolm X? He said, no one can shoot me because I have one guard, and my bodyguard is Allah. He will protect me. So that was the answer. When they asked him, what are you going to do after you retire from boxing? He said, I'm going to, you know, spread love and peace. I'm going to make da'wah to Islam and teach people about my faith and stand up for human rights. And this is why this is the reason why I chose Muhammad Ali for tonight's talk, because I chose this ayah from Surah Nisa, Surah 4, ayah 153. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ O you who believe, stand up for justice as witnesses for Allah. So Muhammad Ali embodied this concept of standing up for what is right, like not killing the Vietnamese people, even if he had to lose his title, even if he had to lose the gold medal, he didn't care. They gave it back to him, and they gave him an apology, and he gained the respect for everyone. So he was talking about Islam all the time. I know that no one represented Islam in the media like Muhammad Ali did. Malcolm X tried, but Muhammad Ali took it to the next level. Muhammad Ali made it cool to be a Muslim in the US. Whereas back then, to be black, if you are driving in the road, you will get one ticket, and if you are a Muslim, you'll get another ticket. But he commanded the respect of everyone, those who are old and those who are young. The American presidents were after him, trying to get pictures with him. You know, everyone respected the guy. Now, inshallah, I'm going to talk about two small stories from his life to show you how much he respected Islam and how he was always mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, and this is the reason why I took this lighter, Muhammad Ali didn't smoke, but he kept one of those in his pocket. So he said, and this is something that he made public, that every time my evil soul whispered to me to do something wrong, I got it out of my pocket and I do like this and I put my finger. When it hurt me, I said to myself, Muhammad Ali, the fire of Jahannam is far worse than this. So if you can't bear this in dunya, what about the fire of Akhirah? So don't do it. So that was always a reminder for him to stay away from evil. The second one, for those of you who have been to Los Angeles, I've been there before, there's what they call the Walk of Fame, where they have stars for Tom Cruise, for Arnold Schwarzenegger, for all these famous actors. You see their stars on, you know, the sidewalk, where people walk on their names and they take pictures and stuff. The only star which is placed on the wall, there's only one, and this is Muhammad Ali's star. When they offered him a star, he said, my name is Muhammad, I'm named after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and I don't want people to walk on the name of my Prophet. And my last name is Ali, the Most High, which is the name of Allah, Al-Ali, right? So I don't want people to step on the name of Allah. This is why they said, okay, we'll make an exception for you because we love you so much, and they put it on the wall. Right? So now you know the reason why people respect this guy, because he stood up for what he thought was right and he had great respect for Islam. This is something we learn from. If your name is Muhammad, don't be shy. Don't call yourself Mo. If your name is Zakaria, don't call yourself Zach or Dave. No, my name is Muhammad. This is the most famous name in the world. There are more than 150 million people in this world who have the name Muhammad. It's the most popular name in the world. If you go to London, the UK, the name Muhammad is the number one name, ahead of John and Matthew. So you should be proud of who you are, and you should be proud of your name, and you should be proud of your faith. So I think this is something will inspire you, inshallah, to learn from the example of Muhammad Ali, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and give him Jannah. Ameen, ameen. So the question for last night, you still need this? I don't smoke. MashaAllah, he's a good goalkeeper. So the question was, there's only one ayah that was revealed inside the Kaaba, and the answer is ayah 58, and the winner is Sister Rakshinda, and her son Adin Aslam will get the prize. Adin?
Which
58. يا أيها الذين إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل. This was revealed inside the Kaaba. It has a beautiful story. You have to read it in the books of Tafsir. It's a whole lecture by itself. Barakallahu fiik. Takbir. The last two ayat, mashallah. The last two ayat of Surah Baqarah were revealed in Rihlat al-Mi'raj. The last two ayat of Surah Baqarah. Amana Rasul bima unzila ilayhi till the end. So, tonight's question is very easy, inshallah. We know that when someone reaches puberty, they are 13, 14, Allah would make something halal or haram for them. There's only one baby in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made something haram for him. A baby in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made something haram for. وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ something. We made something haram for this baby. So if you know the answer, email me before tomorrow Asr at Imam Mustafa at Anatolia Center. That's it. Umm al-salati alhamdulillah.